Hello, hello! You are listening to CPA Career Path Podcast with Rosie Flaherty, CPA MSA. This is episode number 20. We continue the conversation with Anoop Mehta, an immediate past chair of AICPA.
Like learning and also picking up opportunities are two very important skills based on your experience. So are there any other important skills you think that really important?
I think biggest thing is listening skills. I know it sounds so trivial, but it really is. I mean, ability to listen to people. The other thing is about being genuine, being authentic. And I can tell you right now, Rosie, you know, as I'm talking to you, it's the same way I would talk to probably some big as CEO of a big company. The same way I'd be talking to if, you know, going to in the morning, get my cup of coffee, somebody who served me that cup of coffee in the morning. It doesn't change. My behavior doesn't change. It is what it is. And I think that's important. I think people need to be authentic. They have to be genuine in every conversation. And, you know, you and I have met several times. You'll see the same me.
I was so excited when I saw you at the AICPA Engage conference. And you know what? One more thing that I feel like you're doing so good is that you remember people's names so well.
I don't think I have good memory about that, but I do remember people. I have a hard time remembering their name. But somehow, I don't know, we must have connected. And you made an impression at that Leadership Academy. You remember, because I think I shared with you when we talked, and I said, yeah, I remember because you were sitting here and you asked this question. So there's something about you that I just remember.
That's just amazing. I was like, wow, he was the chair of AICPA and he remembered me.
I will tell you, look, and I'm not trying to be modest here or anything like that. I tell you what, I've had the privilege to get to know so many of the past chairs, AICPA. They are all wonderful people, and I think it's just not me, it's just all of these people. They get to that position, they get to be the chair of the AICPA, and one of the thing qualities is just they are really genuinely nice people, and I learned from them. And I one of the things that I said at my farewell address is that how lucky I am to now join this group of past chairs who, you know, I admired, I respected them all these years, and now being part of that group as past chair, right? What a thrill moment for me to be now, you know, associated with that group. So I will tell you, it's just not me. I think a lot of these, all these chairs that I've had the privilege of getting to know, they are phenomenal individuals. Not only they're brilliant in what they do, but they're some of the nicest people that you will ever meet.
Wow, I can feel that you love volunteering so much. I can feel that based on the conversation. Either whenever we go to any topic, you always bring back volunteering. You really, really love it.
I do. I mean, I learned a lot from volunteering, and this is why I really encourage everybody to volunteer. And I know sometimes you're scared that, do I have the time? Trust me, it's not as much time as you think, okay? And you will find a way to balance everything. And I think these organizations that look for people to join them in volunteer positions, they understand that this is not your whole life. You have other things. So they're willing to work with you, with your schedule. And I know I experienced that at the MACPA. I experienced that at the AICPA. You know, if there was something I couldn't do, they knew that. They said, don't worry about it. We got your back. That's the key, you know. And all these organizations, they understand that.
You talk, so during the volunteer time, you said you talk a lot about accounting with students. So I'm wondering, what did you tell students about the common myths about CPAs?
I think one of the most common myths that I get from students, accounting is boring and it's a dull profession. Well, I can tell you something. It is not boring. It is not dull. I tell you, accounting, it is so dynamic. Every day you get to do different things. And it offers so many different challenges and rewards, you know. I look at it, look, accounting is a language of business. Every business needs us, right? We're there to support them. We're there to guide them. We're their trusted advisor. We use creativity. You know, we use our judgment and we give those advice. And I remember why I got into accounting. It was my dad seeing that and seeing, you know, how his clients wanted his advice. And that's what I want. You know, that's what I wanted to be. So it's a, you know, we get to work with so many different things, variety of things. We get to deal with so many different industries, right? So it is exciting. It's dull. And I can tell you, no 2 days are alike for me. Every day it's a different thing. Every day it's a different challenge. Every day it's a different, you know, something. Oh, how do I solve this problem? You know, creativity, all of that. So I let me tell you, accounting is neither dull nor boring. And then the other thing I think what we hear back is, you have to be good in math. You know, that's not the case. I mean, it's just, yes, you have to have simple math. You need to understand that, right? It is, yes, there are some numbers, but it's not about numbers. You know, it's basically right now, I think it's basic arithmetic that's required. And most calculations nowadays, you know, you can use Excel, you can do, you know, a bunch of other stuff to do the calculation. We're able to tell a story, right? Here's the numbers, but what does the numbers mean? We as a profession can tell a good story. How do you communicate? How are you being creative in problem solving? Teamwork, all of those things are critical. So that's the other thing. And then, you know, you also hear about, oh, you must like doing taxes. You know, the only taxes I've done is for myself and a few of my family members. And I even don't do that anymore. Right. So it's not that for me. I've never been in public accounting. I've always been in private industry, been in the corporate world. You know, so all these myths are there, but they're just myths. They're not facts.
I agree. I interview so many people and we talk so much about why people always think accounting is boring.
Yeah. And actually, one more thing, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you know, here's the other one, which I know that you probably hear also, you're stuck behind a desk, right? Oh my God. You know, someone like me with my personality, I cannot afford to get stuck behind a desk because that's not how I work. I like moving. I like meeting with people, you know, hanging out with people. That's me. That's what accounting profession is. We're not stuck behind a desk. You know, that's the other thing. That's also pretty funny, you know?
That's so true. I agree. Absolutely agree. Just like you and me, we're talking to each other right now. We just get the work done only. We're not talking to other people. People always think that you accountants, you just sit there and then get the job done. You don't talk.
I know. And look, you're doing a podcast. You're bringing people like me on a podcast. That's exciting. That's exciting work. I mean, it's exciting for me to be talking to you.
I love talking to people about accounting as well. It's just so passionate for me. To just listen to stories and talking about all the hot topic about accounting. So talking about telling stories, I think this is really important because it doesn't matter if you're doing public or private, you need to know how to tell a story to your client. Are there any specific skills that you recommend to young people to improve when they try to learn how to tell a good story?
Yeah, and you know what? I don't think there was anything that, you know, I learned. It's just by talking to people. I mean, nowadays, people tell me that we love listen to your story the way you tell story. And I don't even know how I developed that skill. I really don't. I mean, it would just happen by just interacting with people. And you know, but I think it's also passion, right? And I think when I'm passionate about something, it just comes out so much better, right? So if I'm talking about, like I said, students, which, you know, I'm very passionate about, as I'm telling them about my story, about my journey and what I do and things like that, I'm very passionate about it. And when I am passionate about something, it just comes out naturally. It just comes out and I'm able to better connect with people. And I think I talked about it earlier, being authentic, being genuine in the conversations you have. I hate the word networking because I know we use that a lot, right? I said, I don't like the word networking. It's about, for me, it's about create relationship building. So every time I meet with somebody, I'm not creating a networking opportunity. I'm creating, how do I get to know this person? How do I build a relationship with this person? But once you do that, then actually you're now connected and then you're able to help each other out with things. And it's hard to go up to somebody and ask for help when you've not even established that relationship, right? So it's important to establish that relationship. And like I said, it's when you do some of that and when you come out genuine, when you come out authentic, the story just comes out. It comes out in the right way. So I don't know where I developed that skill, but it's just over time and just being, you know, outgoing and talking to as many people as I can.
Yeah, I still remember you shared with us a story about how you learned martial art.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I was like, I want to learn martial art too, but can you share with our audience how martial art shaped your life and shaped your career?
Oh, I tell you, it just as much as the CPA did, martial arts did the same thing for me. When I got my black belt, when I started back in, it was around the same time, by the way, I started working in 1980. It was a friend of mine from high school that we connected it at college, and he signed up for a karate class in college. And he saw me and I said, oh yeah, this sounds interesting. And I joined it, the same class. And then after the semester was over, he said, oh, Anoop, I really enjoyed this and I'm going to go join a school outside. I said, okay, well, let me know if you find a good school, I'll join with you. And then a few months went by and I didn't see him. And then I ran into him the next semester, and he had said that, oh, I started this school a couple of months ago. You really should join. And then he kind of forced me to join that school. So I joined kind of like that conference that I attended. Oh, I'll just go see how it is, you know, whatnot. And they were offering free lessons 1 week, and they gave me my, you know, gi, you know, uniform. So I said, well, yeah, I could do this. So let me try this. So I did. And then after a couple of weeks, they tested me for my first belt. And I said, oh, this is pretty neat. And then, you know, it just happened. And then he dropped out after a couple of months, but I kept going. I got my black belt in 1985, roughly 4.5 years. And I will tell you that built so much confidence. And, you know, all these activities I've done afterwards, I think I had the confidence because of martial arts. I said, oh, I could do this. Oh, yeah, I could do this. Oh, yeah, I could do this. So every opportunity, remember, I told you, I took advantage of the opportunities that were presented to me. Well, part of the reason I said yes, and I took advantage of it, because I had the confidence that I could do this. And the martial arts is what gave me that confidence. So then when I got my black belt, there were four partners, I think four or five. And they asked that if I wanted to join the partnership and teach regularly. And I said, sure. So I joined, I became a partner. And then over the years, these partners started to move away to different locations. And then whoever left, the rest of the partners bought them out, right? Because they couldn't teach, because they were moving away, whatnot. So slowly, slowly, all the partners started to move away. And then I bought them out, all out. And then I was the sole partner, sole owner. And then I ran the school for a long time. We had the facility until COVID hit. So we had a facility till March of 2020. And then when COVID hit, we closed down the school. Now we meet still on a virtual basis. I haven't participated as much, but we have a few black belts. So I had two black belts that taught regularly. I would go in and teach. And then, of course, all the exams, I would be at the exams. But I'm actually really looking forward to opening up the school back up again at some point. Once this slows down a little bit, my travel for the ICPA slows down a little bit, and I start to get back into a little bit more routine, that I would love to be able to open up the studio again. So I'm a 7th degree black belt. And as much as I'm passionate about accounting, I'm passionate about martial arts. So they kind of went hand in hand, I would say, because they really, I think part of it, the thing is that confidence that I had when I got my black belt, that I could do this, is what gave me the confidence to go back and sit for the CP exam after giving it up, right? And I said, I think I can do this, you know? So it kind of goes hand in hand. I encourage everyone, all my friends who have small kids. In fact, I have three grandkids, right? So one of them is 6 years old. I'm hoping that I could open up and start to teach him a little bit, or get him involved in the school. So I tell all parents that, once they reach 5, 6 years old, if you can put them in the martial arts, it's the best thing they could do for their child.
You own the school. I didn't know that. I thought you just went to get the regular martial art classes. All this. Wow. You do everything.
Yeah. 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 So, ran the school for a long time. And of course, that's also time consuming, right? Because you had facility, have to take care of the facility, and then taught a few days here and there. Again, this is also where it helps that you have people, right? So I had a couple of black belts that taught a couple of nights, and then I would go from time to time. And then, of course, the exam times and things like that. So I'm really looking forward to being able to start that back again.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. But I'm just curious, can you say a little bit more details? You said that martial arts help you build confidence, but can you share more details how martial arts help you build confidence?
Well, I mean, martial arts, it's not just the physical abilities, right? It's mental abilities too. And I think that helped me develop calmness to be able to address, people without getting upset. Being able to control your emotions, all of those things are part of the martial arts, and the confidence part, when I got my black belt, that was the ultimate. I never thought I would get that, but I did. So just being you're self-conscious, you're self-aware that you could do this, if you wanted to do it. And I think that's the biggest part of the martial arts, being able to, get yourself out of a situation, unpleasant situation, because you learn how to control those emotions. I get upset once in a while, but it's never to that extent that I, get blown away. I control my emotions. I control my voice. and how it comes out. And that's all because of the martial arts.
Wow. I remember I took martial arts one time, I think like maybe 8 years ago. And then the thing is that at the karate or taekwondo, I don't remember exactly which class I took, they make a really big sound. Like, hoo! And I was so scared. I was running to the corner of the room. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I can make those sounds. Well, I mean, you know, just presence, you have, you're very conscious about your presence. You know, no matter what room I walk into, I can walk in with not cockiness, but just confidence in that if somebody comes up, whether it's the CEO of a huge company, I just go up there and have a conversation. I can do that, right? So I think those are some traits that I learned from martial arts. To be able to get in front of people, you know? And as chair, you get to do a lot of speaking engagements, right? I to some extent, I'm still scared to get up there, right? But once I start moving, it just becomes natural, right? But all those things, I wouldn't have been able to do it or had the confidence to do it unless it was for the martial arts.
That's amazing. You seem to do a lot of things. Work, volunteering, martial arts. I'm wondering how your family supports you doing all of this work.
I think, you know, I find time to do things with my kids, with my grandkids. I'm very active. I mean, I know, you know, I visit my family. I have a lot of family in the area. Luckily, my brother lives in my same development. My sister lives not too far. My mom lives not too far. I have uncles, aunts. So they're pretty within a reasonable time. I have a lot of friends. I enjoy golf. I play a lot of golf with my friends. So all these things, vacation, I enjoy traveling. It's finding, you know, and part of it is a lot of people look at it, you know, if I'm doing this, I can't do anything else. That's not true. The way I integrate everything, that's a better way. It's not work-life balance. I think work-life integration. How do I integrate? I've never been good at saying, you know, if I'm going to go on vacation, I'm just nothing else, right? A lot of people can do that. I say, if I did that, then, you know, when I come back, I probably have hundreds of emails, right, to respond to. So I figure out a way to balance and integrate both of that, not balance, but integrate both of that. So even though I'll tell you a story. So I think it was in February. I took vacation with my wife and two other couples. We went to Egypt and Jordan. Okay. Now, this is right after I came back from India in February. So it was like back-to-back travels for me. But I, you know, that was a good time for me to take vacation because I had a 2-week window, which I didn't have any other commitments. So I said, well, this is a good time for me to take vacation. So I was on vacation and then, you know, I had a couple of emails and I responded back pretty quickly because a lot of times it's just yes, no, or, you know, small response and that's it. It's done. Right. The other thing was I met a young man. And this was while I'm cruising on the Nile River. So we had a 3-day boat trip on the Nile River. So I ran into a young man. He was from Pennsylvania, and he was vacationing with his parents. And then he was, you know, I noticed he was checking his emails and things like that. So I just walked up to him and introduced myself and said hello. So what I found out was that he was checking his emails because he was waiting for college acceptances. Okay. And so we started talking and I said, well, what you going to do? So he told me he wants to become a lawyer, wants to go to politics, I said, oh, okay. And I didn't say anything. I just said, that's great. You know, we need good politicians in this country and things like that. So then he asked me what I did. And so I started to tell him about accounting profession and what it has done for me and what my role as chair of the AICPA. And he was like fascinated. He said, well, I never knew accountants did that. I said, yeah. So now I'm on vacation, but I'm still promoting the profession, right? So that same thing, you could be on vacation, but you could be addressing this. It doesn't take that long. So I may have sat with him for like, I don't know, half hour. And we talked about the profession. But here's the thing. At the end of the conversation, he said, Anoop, I never thought about accounting, but I'm going to give it a thought. I'm going to give it a see and, you know, take a look at it. Now, I don't know what he's going to do. He may do still political science major and things like that. But the key is he got accepted to a college that's only about 40 minutes from me. And he wanted to stay in touch with me. And I said, absolutely, let's stay in touch. And so we will see. So we don't know where things go. This is what I mean. It doesn't mean that you have to set aside time to do this or do that. Find a way to figure out and integrate. You know, I may go with my kids, my grandkids, take them to the park or something like that. But if I get a quick phone call, I'll figure out a way to take that call and, you know, take care of them and things like that. I've never been good at separating everything. I just can't do it. You know, everything is kind of mixes in.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense because it's very difficult when after I took vacation, I came back and tons of email I have to go through. Yep. It was not easy. So we touch a lot of different topics in accounting, but one thing we haven't mentioned about is AI and technology. What do you think about how AI and technologies will affect accounting professions?
I tell you what, I am excited about AI and some of the technologies that are kind of being infused in our profession. You know, things like this is only helps us get better, more efficient in the way what we do, right? And I think that's how we have to look at. And I know, you know, I've heard stories about AI is going to replace accounting, this and that. In fact, I read somewhere that AI passed the CPA exam. First of all, AI did not pass the CPA exam, right? ChatGPT did not pass the exam. It passed a simulation of questions that it had taken, but you know the CPA exam is not public, right? So unless you pay your application fees and you get qualified to sit for the CPA, you don't know what the exam what's in the exam. So anyway, I really look at the AI and some of these technologies that are coming out as just tools for us to do things better, to do things faster. I think like Excel, when Excel came out, how we're using Excel is a huge part of our life. I mean, in the profession, there's not a day that goes by that I don't pull up my Excel spreadsheet or do something, right? That's what I think the AI is going to be. It's going to help us do things more efficiently. It's going to do those low-level tasks that takes up a lot of time, consumes a lot of time, help us do those things faster. And I'll tell you, give you one example. I was trying to do a out-of-office message, you know, my email response, right? So I just put that into the AI, the ChatGPT. I said, hey, can you just draft me a quick email out of office? And that's all I did. It came out with a beautiful message. And all I did was cut and paste. And it just said exactly what I wanted to say, right? That's one example, right? So I think, like I said, I don't think we should be embracing technology. We shouldn't be afraid of it. And if truly we as a profession are going to be looked upon as those trusted advisors, those high-level critical thinking, that advice role that we want to be known for, then these are things that we shouldn't be fearful that they're not going to replace us, all right? Because at the end of the day, the clients want us, talk to us because they want to talk to us, not machine. They can't get that trust. They can't get that advice from AI or some tool. They're looking from us to provide that guidance.
So you mentioned that the low task technology can replace low task jobs, and so the next generation they can focus on high task jobs or high task assignments. So my question for you is that when for recent graduate students, a lot of them learn about accounting profession from doing basic stuff, from doing the entry numbers in order to know that, oh, this number is supposed to be at this form or supposed to be at this specific financial statement. So by replacing low task, how do you think the next generation will be prepared for the job after they graduate?
Well, I think you have to understand the concepts. I mean, you have to understand the debits and the credits, right? I mean, that's the basic accounting. So you have to understand that. But that doesn't mean you're going to wind up doing that for the rest of your life, right? I mean, I started doing that early age, but then I don't think I've touched, a transaction or enter a transaction probably in the last 35, 40 years, right? I don't do any of that. I don't think I've looked at a ledger and, the old days you had to entry those and manually or do a, recording a transaction. I hadn't done that in 35 years. But when people ask me, and I conceptualize it, I teach them, okay, here's how you think through it. And this is how you think through the transaction. And this is how you would go about it. That critical thinking, that's the thing. And then we start talking about, okay, what if we do this? What if we do this? What would that do to the financials? What would that do to our revenue? That's where we come in, all right? So we have to understand the basics. And that's what I think you're getting that. That's what the exam tests you on, the basic skills, basic knowledge. But then really, as you start to develop your career, those technical skills that I call those technical skills, they start to become a little less important, and all the other skill sets become a lot more important. Your human skills, how do you deal with people? How do you get the best out of people? And how do you motivate people? Those skill sets are then start to develop, and they become more important as you start to move up in your career.
With so many years in accounting and so many years volunteering in this accounting profession, I'm just wondering if there is something that you wish you had known about this career.
I think early when I graduated, the only thing I was thinking about from a public accountant. So over the years, I've learned that a career in accounting can lead to, so many different things. I think having a degree in accounting is the foundation. We talked about that a little bit. It's the basic foundation to be able to do. I don't know. I mean, some part of me says that I wish in today's world a little bit more tech savvy. I'm not that tech savvy. I wish I had learned a little bit more technology. It would have been nice to maybe spend a little bit of time in public accounting. But like I said, for me, I enjoyed the people that I work with. So that just kept me in that business, government contracting, the science and engineering aspects of it. But I have no regrets, though. I mean, I don't have regrets. So when you ask, wish I had known about accounting, I think I wish I had probably at that time early on known about all the different opportunities that could, and I think early on, like I said, when you graduated back in the 80s, it was you get your accounting degree, get your CPA, and then join the firm, the Big Eight at that time. I didn't realize, well, all the opportunities that presented. And part of it is, you know, when I started working for this company, it was a safety net. I felt comfortable. I loved the people, but I was comfortable there. But I had I passed the CPA exam immediately, right after college, when I first took it, perhaps I may have gone done different things. And since I waited so long, I was already comfortable in that position and enjoyed that position, that even after CPA, I just stayed there. Like I said, if I had to pass the exam a lot earlier, I don't know, maybe I would have made a different decision in going into public accounting, and maybe my career path would have been in public accounting. So I think early on, giving these students all the possibilities that exist, I wish somebody had sit down with me and shared that, that, hey, Anoop, you could do this, you could do that, you could do that. And I didn't realize that. So I think that's the what I wish I had known when I first graduated.
That you mentioned, you said earlier the interview that you learn a lot from the company that you work for almost 42 years. At the same time, you said you are in the comfortable zone. And people normally say that when you are in the comfortable zone, you do not learn much. But you opposite, you learn so much in that comfortable zone.
Yeah, when I said I was comfortable, meaning I was comfortable with the people. I was comfortable with the job. I think comfortable also means I was happy, meaning I was enjoying what I was doing, right? But I didn't sit still. I mean, it was just my, desire to continue to learn and meet different people and learn from them. That's what got me continue to move up and get me into different roles, you know?
I see. You just provide a lot of valuable tips and advice for people in this accounting profession. Before we finish this interview, can you share or can you provide some tips and advice for young accountants or young CPAs in this accounting profession?
Sure. I think one, and we touched on it earlier, being genuine, being authentic with people that you interact with. Don't connect with people because you think they can do something for you. Connect with them because you genuinely want to get to know them and what they do and learn from them. That's one thing. Second is help people, help others. I mean, this journey to becoming a CPA and then journey onwards in the career, it's not done alone. And I'm a perfect example. I don't think anything that I've done because of, I've managed to accomplish on my own. It's been because people around me, people that have helped me grow, and I want to be able to give back, and that's why I volunteer so much. So I encourage everyone to help others, whether you know you have a classmate that may be struggling a little bit in one class or something like that. Take your time, help them, you know. And I think I truly believe that if we lift others around us, we too get lifted, right? So if I'm, you know, helping others and encouraging them and they grow, and I think I'm growing with them in a way, right? So that's another important thing for me. Second, and then for me, it's also being nice to people. My God, I know it sounds corny. I know it sounds real simple, but just being nice to people. I in today's world, like, oh my God, it's just there's so much divisiveness. I mean, this people are divided, and every time you interact with somebody, being nice doesn't take up a lot of energy. I think I read somewhere, smile takes less energy than the frown. I mean, being upset. I think the muscles that you use in your mouth, in your face, are less when you're smiling than you are when you're pouting. You know, just being nice to people, and I think the best part: have fun, enjoy life. These things didn't come to me just overnight. You know, these things I learned over time, And I think I was a different person probably 20 years ago than I am today. It's okay. People change and we all change. But I think today I enjoy life a lot more than I did probably 20 years ago, in the sense that, not that I didn't enjoy it, it's just I have a different outlook on life. Every connection I made, every person that I meet, I try to make it a lasting relationship. It's not one and done. It's not like, hey, I know you and that's it. So for me, it's about enjoying life, having fun while doing, even working, even, you know, volunteering as I'm going around the country and talking to, I have fun with them. You know, people ask me, hey, do you have time to do this? Or can you hang out a little bit more? Can I hang out with you? I remember I did attended the Accounting Scholars Leadership Workshop that AICPA does, right? Aside from the Leadership Academy, they do other things. This is for high school and college students. There are some high school, but mostly like college, first, second year college students. And I was with them a whole day, and then they had a reception, and I was with them in the reception. And my flight wasn't till like 11 o'clock in the night, because I was flying from Phoenix back home. And so we were still chatting away, and I asked them, and in fact, they were closing down the reception hall. So there were like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 students that I was talking to, and they said, hey, do you mind hanging out? I said, well, I can hang out with you for 3-4 more hours, because I don't have a flight till late. So if you guys don't mind, sure, let's go sit somewhere and just chat. And I tell you, it was so wonderful just to sit. And you know, for me, they're probably thinking, oh, my God, you know, I spent so much time with them. But for me, it was so exciting to spend time with them, you know, get their thoughts. So just enjoying everything that we do, you know, whether you're doing, you know, your work, your, you know, your hobby, just have fun. Enjoying that is the biggest thing. So I think is the some of the advice that I want to impart on people. Yeah, we have to work. Yes, we have to do this. Yes, we have to do this. But if we do it with enjoying and having fun, it just makes things so much easier.
I love those advice. I want to use those advice for myself.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for those advice. And also thank you so much for sharing with me your CPA journey and your viewpoint about accounting profession during this interview. Thank you so much.
Oh, no. Well, thank you, Rosie. You know, it was so wonderful to see you again. And I know our paths will cross again. And I just can't wait to see the type of influence you're going to have on our profession. I know you're going to do, you're already doing amazing things. And I think you're going to do even more amazing things. And, you know, one day I'd love to see you as chair of the AICPA. There's no reason why you can't do that. If I got this opportunity, I know you can do it too. So be the influencer. You're making a lot of impact in our profession. So thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you. You're just too nice. You just give me so many nice words.